Welcome. Welcome to a time of reflection, a time to remember in an unparalleled event in history. This event opened a door. It opened a door to forgiveness and freedom and life. And the great news is that this door is open to anyone who would walk through it. In this time that we have together, I want to encourage you to participate, to join in through the music, through the message, through the taking of the bread and the cup. And whatever elements that you have, whether you're using crackers and juice or bread and water or something else altogether, I encourage you to have them accessible so you'll be ready when we take them together. So lean in, participate in this opportunity to remember, because that's what Jesus called us to do. Remembrance. Well, we're called to remember that Jesus died. But why? Why is it so important, and why did he die? What was behind that incredible act that we remember today? I just want to share three reasons why Jesus died. Three very basic, simple, yet powerful reasons. And the first one is kind of a big picture reason. If we back up and look at things from 20,000 feet up, one of the answers is because it was God's plan. Jesus died because it was God's plan. And it was God's plan from the very beginning. And I think that's so important for us to remember, because it wasn't a plan B. It wasn't that something happened and God had to all of a sudden change things up. He knew that this was the course that things were going to take. And in all of it, even all of the negative of it, he's working to bring about good. And that's so important for us to remember, especially right now, that in all the negative that's happening, God is always at work to bring about good, because he is accomplishing his plan. Now, what is God's plan? You know, there's really four great movements to God's plan. And it starts with creation. God made everything. God made us. And he made us to be in relationship with him. He made us perfect creatures. And he enjoyed his creation, and he wanted us to enjoy it too. And in that reality, it was everything that we could have wanted it to be. And yet that creation period and all the beauty and the majesty, much of which we still enjoy, we also know now has been marred, and that's because of the second movement, which is the fall. Adam and Eve in the garden chose to not follow God and trust in his love, but instead went their own way and chose to try to elevate themselves to the position of God. And because of that, sin entered the world. Their disobedience brought with it consequences. And things like death and decay and disease and all of those things started at that point and have progressed even now to today. The fall has effects that we are feeling right now, and really very personally and close up as we walk through these difficult times. The fall is something that we still struggle with, and yet God's plan was never to leave it at that place. In giving us the freedom to choose to follow him or not to follow him, he knew that we could and would choose to go our own way. And yet he wanted to create a way for us to be redeemed, for us to be brought back into relationship with him. Whereas the fall severed that relationship, the third movement of history really centers on Jesus, as God the Father sent God the Son to this earth to accomplish a mission that would bring redemption, that allow us to experience freedom eventually from the effects of the fall, and some of those effects immediately, that we could know that instead of having death, because of spiritual death and separation from God because of the fall and because of our own sin, that instead we could have life and know that when this life is over, we will enjoy life with him forever because of that relationship. And that's why Jesus came to bring that opportunity for redemption. And that's why he had to die. It was all a part of God's plan. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're told that he, Jesus, meaning Jesus, was chosen before the creation of the world. So before anything else was started, this plan was already in place, but he was revealed in these last times for your sake. Jesus came at just the right time, but it was all a part of God's plan, and that eventually will bring in the fourth movement of history, the fourth part of God's plan, which is restoration, when God will ultimately restore all things to the way they were in the garden. He will go back to that perfection and exactly what he had planned from the very beginning. And through that whole process, he will be shown to be great and mighty and worthy of our honor, worthy of our praise, because he alone could pull that plan off in his wisdom and in his power. And he invites us to be a part of that process, to experience restoration ourselves, to be redeemed so that we can experience that restoration. But interestingly, in that verse, it says that Jesus was revealed in these last times for your sake. Well, what does it mean, for your sake? Well, now let's move from the kind of the 20,000 foot view. So why did Jesus have to die? Because it was God's plan. But let's get more personal. Why did Jesus have to die? It's because of our need. So it was God's plan, but it was God's plan because he knew that we had a need. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "There is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, two of the groups that were often at odds with one another, and one group would often look down on the other group." And God's saying, look, in my sight, there's no difference. One's not better than the other. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter your position in life. His point was, we all have something in common as human beings. And that is that we've all fallen short of God's standard. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And his glory represents his perfection. And none of us have attained that. None of us can. Because from the very moment that we're born into this broken, sinful world, we enter in as sinful human beings and then perform acts of sin, things that are offensive to God. That's simply what sin is. Anything that we do, say, or think that is offensive to God. And he can't tolerate that in his perfection. He wants everything to be restored to the way that it was, to its original perfection. And that means something has to happen to take care of our need. Because it goes on to say in Romans 6:23 that the wages of that sin is death. You see, we might say, okay, big deal. We've all sinned. We're all in the same boat. We know we're not perfect. But what does that really matter? After all, I try to do good things too. And you know, doesn't it all balance out? Sometimes we don't understand that those offenses against God, it's like wages. We've earned something because of them. And that what we've earned is death. Now, death physically, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden and disobeyed God, they physical death entered into the world. But also something even more significant, spiritual death, that separation between us and God, that breaking of a relationship. And that's how the Bible portrays us, that we are spiritually dead, separated from God. Why? Because he's perfect and we're not. And that separation is because of our sin, because of our offense. We've earned that. And the problem is that we can't fix that problem. It's a debt that we can't pay. And God knew that, and so he came himself. He took the form of a human being. The Creator came to the creation to rescue us. He lowered himself. He was willing to do that because of our need. And we all have this need, every single one of us. You know, maybe during this time where we've had to be home a lot, we've stayed in, and if you're home with any other people, or even if you're home by yourself, maybe this idea of being aware of your sinfulness or things that aren't right has become more acute. There's nothing like putting you in a confined space with a group of people that you're comfortable with to let the kind of the real you come out, right? And sometimes that's not so pretty. Sometimes you're short or impatient or angry or frustrated. And sometimes we don't demonstrate love to those that we should love the most, even our own family. And all that's a part of that sin. Or maybe you're on your own and that's hard. And because of that loneliness or because of you're just feeling like nobody's around you, you're involving yourself perhaps in some things that aren't healthy, aren't good. And that's a part of that offense to God. See, no matter what our situation right now, there's a chance that we become even more aware of our own sinfulness, that we really don't measure up to God's standard. And that leaves us in a situation of knowing, I can't fix this problem, and yet I'm aware that it's there. What can I do? And so the question is, why would Jesus come? You know, we had a need, but he didn't have to come to need it. Well, yeah, it was part of God's plan. But again, speaking from a personal level, the third reason that Jesus died is because of God's love. God's love. You see, God loves us. He desires for us to be with him. He wants a relationship with us. God does not have a heart to punish or to judge. Jesus actually came saying not to judge, but to offer an opportunity for reconciliation between us and God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I love that because I love when we see love in action, right? We can say that we love someone. We can say that we love something, but it's when we act in accordance with what we say that really backs that up. And this verse says, God loves us, but he demonstrated that love in a very tangible way. He said, I love you this much, enough to give my own son, my perfect son, who has no sin of his own to pay for. And he'll come and he'll die in your place because I love you. And that's how much I want you to be in relationship with me. While we were still sinners, while we were still turning our backs against God, while we're still doing things that are offensive to him, it's not as if we all of a sudden stopped and he said, okay, you know, I get it. Now you're finally ready. I'll rescue you. No, while we were still turning our backs on him, God said, I'll send Jesus. And Jesus will come and lay down his life. And he'll do it because he loves you and because I love you. You see, Jesus took our place, that idea that Christ died for us. He took our place, he paid our debt, and it cost him his life. And that's why Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. He paid the debt in full so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be bought back, so that we could have relationship with God once again. He paid for us to be forgiven of all that we've done or will ever do that is offensive to God. He did what was necessary to set us free from the ultimate consequence of sin. He made a way for us to have eternal life. That's what John 3:16 says, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. His love prompted him to give his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever places their faith, their trust in him, will not perish eternally, but have eternal life. Life that goes beyond this life. That's what God wants for us. And for that to happen, Jesus had to die. It was all a part of God's plan. It was all because of our need. There was no other way for us to be rescued. And so God did it. And he did it out of his love for us. He loves you and he loves me that much. That's powerful. So how can I know that I'm forgiven? How can I know that I'm set free, that my debt has been paid, that that eternal life that we just talked about is mine? Can I be confident of that? And the answer is, if you're trusting in yourself in any way, then the answer is no. If you're trusting in how good you can be, the answer is no, because we can never be good enough. How do we know we've attained? And none of us will ever attain the perfection that God requires. But if the answer is, I'm trusting in Jesus and his perfection, he was perfect for me, then my answer can be yes. I can be confident. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. In other words, if you recognize who Jesus is and what he did, and you receive that, and says, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the second part of the story that we'll get to celebrate in just a couple of days, you will be saved. You will be rescued. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Again, Paul says it. Look, just like there's no difference that we're all guilty before God, there's no difference that we can all have forgiveness with God. It doesn't matter how good we've tried to be or how bad we've been. It's available to all of us. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For listen to this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If we reach out and invite Jesus to be our rescuer, if we acknowledge our need for a savior and we reach out to Jesus and invite him to be that savior, he will do it. And he will give us freedom from guilt and shame. He'll pay the debt. It's been paid. He'll apply that to us, so that our sin debt is taken care of. He will give us eternal life and restore us to relationship with himself and his Father, not only now, but for eternity. And if you've made that commitment to trust Christ as your Savior, to recognize that his death was for you, that what he went through on that cross was for you, that he is your rescuer, and you've acknowledged that and placed your faith and trust in him, then communion is for you. Because communion is a symbol of what he did for us. And it really only applies if we've embraced the truth behind it, that Jesus truly is our rescuer. You don't have to be perfect, just forgiven. And thank God Jesus came to do what we needed so that we could be forgiven. But this is a time to reflect on Jesus' sacrifice and to examine our own hearts and confess areas in which we've wandered away. It's good for us to come and recognize the price that Jesus paid and to recognize any ways, even right now, that we're wandering away from what God wants or just offending him continually, and acknowledge that and bring it before him and ask for his continued cleansing and forgiveness, which he offers freely to us. And that's a part of what we can do right now. And so I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. We're going to watch a video that just reads scripture and recounts those moments of Jesus on the cross and leading to the cross. And then there'll be two songs that come afterwards that just invite you to participate in. So as you watch the video and hear the scripture read and see those images, I just encourage you to reflect and acknowledge the price that was paid for you. As that first song starts, use that opportunity to give out the elements. If you're having communion with others, give out the elements or get the elements ready to take. And after the second song, I'll come back and we'll take those elements together. Let's reflect on the price that Jesus paid for us. God's plan, our need, and his great love for us, that deep, deep love, is what led Jesus to endure the agony and the suffering of the cross, to pay our ransom. That's why he did it. He did it because it was God's plan from the very beginning, and he was going to accomplish that plan no matter what. He did it because our need was so great that nothing else could meet it. We couldn't do it, nothing else, and no one else. And so Jesus came. And he came because he loves us. He loves us so much that he was willing to give the very best that he had so that we could live forever in relationship with him right now and for eternity. And that's really, really good news. That's something for us to remember. That's something for us to ponder. And these elements that we hold symbolize the body and blood of Jesus. A body that was beaten, spit upon. A body that was mocked. A body that was hung on a cross, and all the pain that he endured and all the brokenness that he went through was for us. And blood. Blood that was poured out from his body, that dripped from his wounds. Blood is life. Without blood, we have no life. And as Jesus allowed his life to flow out of him, it was for a purpose, knowing that the price of his blood would satisfy the debt that we have. And that's such, such good news. His body and his blood, broken and shed for us, is what was required to once and for all cover our sin and purchase our freedom and forgiveness, to give us life and relationship with God. And this is what we remember. On the night before Jesus went to the cross, when he was with his close friends, he was eating a meal with them, and he used common elements of the day, similar to what probably you may be doing right now, maybe just some common elements that you had around your house, and he instituted a very deep spiritual meaning behind it. And he wanted us to continue in that pattern, and that's what we do. And in Luke chapter 22, it says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body. This represents me, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread together. Luke goes on to record, he says, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" It's the new arrangement. I've done it all for you. You just need to receive what it is that I offer you. "And this blood is poured out. It's poured out for you, for your sake and for my sake. Jesus died." Let's take it in faith together. If you're not already, would you just take this moment to express your gratitude to Jesus for what he did for you, for the forgiveness that he died to offer you, for all that you've ever done that's offensive to God, for all that you will ever do. Just thank him for his great love. Father, thank you for your plan. Thank you that nothing will stop you from bringing your plan to fruition. And though there are things that we experience that we wouldn't choose and we don't want, there are things right now that we're going through and experiencing that certainly aren't things that we would want to experience or go through. People are hurting. People are going through difficulties. We live in a broken world. You haven't restored all things yet, but you will. You've promised. And we can know that promise is true because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We can know that promise is true because of what happened 3 days later when Jesus rose from the grave. But we just want to pause and say thank you. Thank you that in your plan, you recognized our need and you met our need because of your great love for us. And now you ask us just to simply receive what Jesus has done on our behalf and experience your presence in our lives, that relationship that we can have with you that brings us strength and wisdom and peace in the midst of all of this uncertainty and hope. And hope that this is not the end of the story. That there is life beyond this. And there is even life beyond this life. Thank you that you've answered our biggest questions. You've dealt with our biggest need. We recognize that. And for all that you went through on our behalf, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In a couple of days on Sunday, we'll be gathering again, 9 a.m. on Facebook Live to celebrate. Yes, we're going to celebrate because this is not the end of the story. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead to demonstrate his power over sin and death, that he had won the victory. And that's what gives us confidence today, that even in the midst of bad news and Jesus' death and that day of silence when he was in the tomb on that Saturday, that God always knew in God's plan there was an ending. There was a new part to the story. It wasn't over yet, and yet it seemed to be. And maybe you're feeling that right now. Maybe you're feeling like, man, how could it get better again? Just know that God specializes in making things better, in bringing good out of difficult situations. And that's a part of what we celebrate on Sunday as we celebrate the greatest event, Jesus rising from the dead. I hope you'll join us. I'm looking forward to it. And I hope you have a great, great day.